2, check 1, 2.
Good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it! And it is Peter Wood.
Hello, happy people, and welcome to Gather Around Again, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you in association with UnderAGaslitLamp.com. Now, as you can see up here, Aston Villa has qualified for the next round of the Europa Conference League. Big success. It's a big deal. I think the first time since 2009 that we're going to be in any kind of knockout competition or round in Europe. And that is absolutely incredible. So thank you very much to Unai Emery, who continues to make sure that we are living the vida loca like Ricky Martin out here in Aston Villa land. We will get into that fixture in a moment. My voice might be a little bit different today. Yesterday I had dental surgery, so my mouth is a little bit mashed up, and this dental surgery was expensive. Listener, it was, you might even say the price even was higher than giraffe genitalia. So if I sound a little bit different, that is why, but hopefully I'll be back to my regular self next time out. But anyway, more importantly than my extensive dental bills is Aston Villa have qualified. It happened. We had an amazing fixture last night. It's been a really interesting run for this Europa Conference League campaign. Obviously, it started out, and we started out on this very show talking about Hibernian and those fixtures way back when. And now we've kind of done it. We qualified. We made the magic happen, and we did it with a 2-1 win yesterday against Legia Warsaw. Now the elephant in the room is the fan behavior, which I think we should start with because of the Legia Warsaw fans. Oh, here we are. Andy says, we haven't won a European tie after Christmas since 1983. So this is another wonderful thing that Unai Emery can broach for us. So we're going to get to that, I'm sure, after Christmas. So the Legia Warsaw fans, Aston Villa have just put out a statement, which I will read here, and it is pretty strong, is probably the safest word. It goes on to say that 4 police officers were injured and 46 Legia supporters were arrested after the unprecedented violence by the Polish fans outside the stadium. The statement goes on to confirm that the shocking behaviour followed Legia club officials' complete lack of cooperation with West Midlands Police, Aston Villa and UEFA throughout the day. It started during the standard pre-match operational meeting that commenced at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday morning and was attended by UEFA representatives, including UEFA security team, as well as the West Midlands Police, including representatives from both clubs. Legia Warsaw refused to confirm if they would accept their allocation of tickets for the match at that point. This is in stark contrast to normal UEFA operational procedures. There's some more in here, but let's just start there. It would seem, based on this information that we are, that's coming out as we speak, this statement here is only a couple of hours old. So this is obviously an ongoing situation, and UEFA have, for their sins, already said that they're going to come out, and they've already come out and said they're going to investigate this further, as they have to, obviously. The idea that if the allegation here is true, that the Legia Warsaw officials have not only been perhaps less than diligent in their pursuit of security protocols, but if it is true that Legia Warsaws have been actually deliberately fanning the flames of violence, and that's not a hyperbolic statement there, although it sounds quite sensational. If they have, let's not forget, there's police officers have been injured. There was violence. Someone, a police officer's coat was set on fire yesterday. And obviously, whatever your feelings are about police or that other stuff, these are individuals that have families and are trying to go home in one piece, you know, like we all are after a day's work. So it's just completely outrageous that this level of violence was brought upon the streets of Birmingham, and that the idea that a club, as is the allegation here put forward by Aston Villa, are not only perhaps complicit in this, but also perhaps actively encouraging it with these kind of wishy-washy, not meeting deadlines, not allocating tickets to fans, is deeply, deeply disturbing. And you would hope that UEFA is not necessarily known as a bastion of righteousness and justice, but you would hope that in this instance that UEFA takes the opportunity to throw the absolute book at Legia Warsaw, not only in terms of their fans, and not only in terms of, also in terms of the club. Again, if these accusations are true, expulsion from European competition, be it this year or the coming years, I imagine would be one option on the table, because you simply cannot have a club that is in cahoots potentially with its own ultras or hooligans or whatever kind of phrase you'd like to use. And it's going to be one to keep an eye on. But the quotes here that I'll read from Chris Heck are quite sensational. Chris Heck, our president of business operations, said the lack of cooperation and pre-verification from Legia Warsaw officials prior to the match was entirely unacceptable and deeply disappointing. This behaviour increased the danger that West Midlands police officers and our own fans were subjected to before the games, and the scenes of disorder from the Legia fans have no place in modern football or civilised society. Damn, Chris Heck. Chris Heck went for the throat there. Aston Villa will be making further representations to UEFA in order to ensure that other clubs and police forces across Europe are not exposed to similar serious safety risks at the hands of Legia Warsaw. Ooh. It goes on to thank the West Midlands Police, of course, for their support. That is about as strong a statement as you'd get. Lots of the statements we normally get from clubs are somewhat mealy-mouthed and a little bit cautious. That is full throat, as I say, full throttle. Heck has gone for the throat there. And it will be interesting to see what happens. I hope everyone that... that goes there, and this is kind of a wider thing as well, a wider point. Football in England, as many of you will know, some of our younger listeners perhaps not, has a terrible history, particularly in the 1980s, of hooliganism and antisocial behaviour at football grounds. We've done a really good job of making football a hospitable place for families to go and for people who don't want to get into a scrap to show up and, you know, maybe have an adult beverage or two if they are so inclined, and go home safely in one piece. The actions, or the alleged actions, I should say, of Legia Warsaw and their fans make that kind of thing impossible. There would have been young children there last night going to the game I did with my dad when I was a young kid. And the last thing you'd want is for Aston Villa supporters or any football supporters up and down the land and across Europe, et cetera, to feel that they can't go and watch a game of football safely, that they cannot go and pursue and follow their team in a safe environment. And that safety was quite literally stolen last night from Aston Villa fans and I'm sure the peaceful Legia Warsaw fans also. So really serious indictment of everything that's gone on. Couldn't really start the show without addressing it. So I wanted to talk about it briefly, but now let's forget all that stuff aside and let's move on to the football, because again, Aston Villa has qualified for the knockout stages of the Europa Conference League, which is the headline. So let's take a look at the starting 11, which rocked up for the Legia Warsaw game. We saw the return of Robin Olsen. Dun, 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 dun. Matty Cash returned to his regular right back spot. Surprisingly, Diego Carlos wasn't recalled, wasn't playing alongside Longley. It was actually Ezra Konsa. Alex Moreno made his long-awaited return from injury to start the game at left back. Beautiful to see him back on the field for Aston Villa. John McGinn, Boubacar Kamara, Douglas Luiz, and Youri Tielemans were the midfield. And Diaby partnered Jan Duran up front. Conspicuous by his absence was our dear friend and top goalscorer, Ollie Watkins. Try not to panic. Unai says that, and Unai has said that Watkins took a knock in training on Wednesday, wasn't risked yesterday, and Unai has also said in his press conference today, on Friday, December 1st, as we are recording here, that Watkins is a doubt and may not take any part in the Bournemouth fixture on Sunday. So, Ollie Watkins has been incredible for us. And one of his best qualities has been his durability and his availability. So the good news is it seems like it's not a very serious issue. And hopefully he will be back sooner rather than later. But the bad news is we're without one of our most important players going into our most important period of the season where we have the most games in the shortest space of time. So again, not panicking. But let's all cross our whatever appendages we have. And that sounded ruder than it needed to. Let's cross whatever appendages we have and make sure that we're wishing Ollie Watkins well. And hopefully he has a speedy return. But what that meant was it meant an opportunity, you know, when a door closes, a window opens and all that jazz. So we got to see Duran start his first game for a little while. And he, you know, he did some stuff. He has a childlike enthusiasm to the game, which is both refreshing and sometimes a little bit concerning, because you look at him and he's making choices which are immature, but he has all the raw ingredients together. So I wonder with Jan Duran, would Jan Duran benefit from a loan spell in the championship for the last 6 months of the season? And could we bring in, you know, a season pro on loan for that 6 months? So we have a little bit of we have a backup for Watkins, but someone who's just a little bit more ready. I think he's got all the talent in the world, but off the ball, he makes some choices that are interesting. Off the ball, on the ball, sometimes he's shooting from crazy angles and he gets involved in things that he doesn't need to get involved in. He got booked yesterday for wrestling someone to the ground, like in midfield, where there wasn't really any apparent danger. But anyway, Jan Duran has a massive future at Aston Villa. I just have questions, I guess, as to whether or not he is quite ready to lead the line for Aston Villa at this time in the Premier League, as he may need to moving forward for the next fixture or two, as Ollie Watkins is currently out, unavailable, as far as we know, may or may not be back for Bournemouth. So, really interesting game. Diaby back after being banished to the bench at halftime in the Tottenham Hotspur fixture at the weekend. Some of the stuff those Tottenham fans are coming out with Matty Cash. Jesus, calm down, people. Anyway, so the game starts, and within 4 minutes, we're ahead. Moussa Diaby in his, I guess, old school right wing kind of role, he gets out there, he skins his man, lovely ball through, of course, from Youri Tielemans, our conductor in there, and he flies through and just smashes one in the bottom corner. Keeper no chance, 1-0 Aston Villa, and everything is beautiful with the world. We are marching on, it's all looking kind of good, and we're doing well. Like, we're in control of the football, we're pressing, we're creating some opportunities. Legia are made of stern stuff. But we are certainly in control of the football match, and we know we need to win this game by two clear goals for us to automatically advance to the knockout stages and avoid the playoffs. So we're completely on course for that for the first 20 minutes of the game until Boubacar Kamara unexplainably and bizarrely rolled the ball out to Ernest Mucci, the Legia Warsaw number 20, who, this wasn't a tap-in, by the way. He was on the edge of the area. There was still a little bit of work to do. And he's absolutely spanked one with some whip and bend, and it's gone straight into the top bins. Some people are questioning Robin Olsen for not diving. I would be one of those, although I'm not a goalkeeper, so I don't know if it was... I don't know. I used to hate it. You remember Mark Bosnich used to do that? Sometimes, like, there'd be a ball, and he'd just kind of, like, do this, like a starfish, but he'd, like, stand still, and it'd be past him, and he wouldn't move. And he'd be rooted to the ground. I don't like it. I like you to at least try and get it. You know, even if you're just diving for the cameras, I just prefer it. And there's always half of you. And this isn't Robin Olsen's fault. And credit to Robin Olsen. Old Daniel Bettridge was in the gas lamp group chat last night singing his praises. Robin Olsen's distribution improved remarkably in that game. So credit where it's due. Brilliant couple of balls over the top. One fully on Bailey, which we'll touch on later. But yeah, credit to Robin Olsen. But I would have just liked to have seen him dive. And again, that might be me talking absolute nonsense. It certainly wouldn't be the first time. It wouldn't be the last time either. I'd have liked to see him dive for that to see if we could, you know, could he have saved it? I don't know. Because I always have in the back of my mind, would Emi Martinez have saved that? And I always kind of half think yes. But that's, again, that's kind of an unfair measuring stick for any goalkeeper, less of all Robin Olsen. So credit to Robin Olsen for at least improving his distribution. And then there was a couple of yellow cards. Douglas Luiz was booked for no reason whatsoever for being fouled by Pawel Wojcicki. Yep, let's go with that. And that was it. Half time, 1-1. A little bit deflated because we know we need to win by two clear goals to win the group, and then we can play the kids and Callum Chambers and the other kind of lost and forgotten toys, our Raggy Dolls. That's a cartoon I used to watch as a kid, so there you go. Feel free to YouTube it. It was interesting. The Raggy Dolls basically were the misfit toys. They were the unwanted toys, and they all banded together. And the unwanted toys at Aston Villa at the moment are kind of like Callum Chambers, Leandro Dendonca, people like that. So it would have been nice to see them come out and play in that final European fixture with us having nothing on it, having already won the group and skip that playoff round, which we certainly would like to do. So we're 1-1 and it's not feeling great. And then it's just a little bit of a bitty, and they're just making lots of fouls as well, Legia Warsaw. As the second half wore on, they were just making foul after foul after foul after foul after foul. And one of those fouls resulted in a Douglas Luiz free kick. And for the second time in the space of 5 days, he whips in an undeniable ball. John Duran, the aforementioned John Duran, has been absolutely suplexed to the ground like a returning CM Punk. It's a WWE reference for you. Anyone out there that gets that? For the returning CM Punk, like, was suplexed to the ground. It was going to be a penalty. But Moreno gets his right boot on it, smashes it into the roof of the net, marks his return to fitness with a goal. And it's 2-1 Aston Villa on the 58th minute. So just a word for Alex Moreno here. Firstly, welcome back. I think you do sometimes forget how important he is. And Luka Dean, let's start with Luka Dean. Luka Dean has done fantastically well. He has put in some incredible deliveries, including two incredible deliveries just at Tottenham. And he put in a really good delivery as well for Zaniolo in the second half here. There is no question that Luka Dean crosses the ball probably better than anyone at the club. Or certainly on par with Douglas Luiz. If he's not the best, he's amongst the top two. But what Luka Dean doesn't have is the incredible speed that Moreno has and the ability to beat a man one-on-one that Moreno has, which just opens up a whole new dimension of attacking possibilities for Aston Villa. So it'll be interesting to see how those two dovetail. I know towards the end of last season, Dean would start a game, Moreno would start a game. So I wonder if we'll see more on that. But perfect timing for Moreno to be back. He played really well. He was voted man of the match as well. So congratulations to him for that. Really important stuff for him to be fit and for him to be back in the swing of things for us here today. So well done to him. And then we are pushing. We're pushing. McGinn is brought off. Leon Bailey is brought on. Again, another returning champion. Jacob Ramsey gets some minutes. And that left-hand side again with Jacob Ramsey and Moreno, we start to remember some of the beauty we had last season with them just really looking really nice together, really, really a really kind of entirely different attacking premise than we have with John McGinn and Luca Dean on there. I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm just saying different. And always good to have different options and different possibilities, as Aston Villa do, moving forward into this busy holiday season. We also saw the return of Nicolò Zaniolo, who missed the Spurs match with injury, who came on for Moussa Diaby. And we even saw Big Daddy Donk make a short return to the matchday squad. And he almost seemed to be smiling ironically to himself, did Big Daddy Donk, when he came on. Because he came on, I think, for about 2 minutes. But anyway, hey, if someone wants to pay me what they're paying Leandro Dandonka to play 2 minutes of football a month, I'll take it. I will accept that deal. Fast. So, you know, Leander, there have been whispers that he may be moving along in January. That wouldn't surprise you. I think if he's not going to be used at all, really, as has been the case, you can certainly find a cheaper alternative to kind of make up the numbers in the squad. And the same goes for Callum Chambers, I think, in that way as well. You don't need to be paying two international players to really see no minutes whatsoever. I think you can have probably younger kids or alternatives that are going to cost you less and allow you to put those resources to better use elsewhere in the squad. And that's nothing against either of those guys personally, but you would think that there are, you know, between them, they must be on at least 150 grand a week if you put those two wages together. So I would imagine, you know, at least. So I would imagine you could certainly put that money, that 150 grand to better use elsewhere. And also Dendonka and Chambers. Hopefully you'd get, you know, a little bit of transfer fee for both of them, maybe 5 million each, 6 million each, I don't know. But you should be able to get some money back for them as well and perhaps put that money into other areas. But I digress. With the moment of the match, the aforementioned Robin Olsen, he hits a majestic long ball. And Leon Bailey, our gingerbread Bailey, who's low-key being one of our players of the season, actually, controls this deftly on his right foot and then lofts a supreme little thing there over the top and then makes it absolutely beautiful as it hits the bar and you think it's gone in. Bailey starts to celebrate. He's raising his hand. And then, no, not so fast, my friend. Unfortunately, it doesn't go in. It bounces off the goal line and the defender's able to make sure that he clears it. So Leon Bailey was denied what was possibly going to be a not just the goal of the season, maybe a goal of a lifetime. That touch over the top of your head from a goal kick is so, so difficult. That control is so, so difficult. But to bring that ball down and then just dink it over the goalkeeper, and had that have gone in, it was absolutely like that would have been it. That would have been our... that would have been our last opportunity. That would have been our chance to win by two clear goals and for us to not need anything to miss that tricky playoff round in the Europa Conference League and just skip the queue, skip the line straight into the knockout stages after Christmas. Got some comments here from Andy. Kamara could do the weekend off to recharge. Yes, he could after that back pass and Abubakar Kamara will get it, of course, suspended for the Bournemouth game, which we'll touch upon in a minute. John Duran, as to the John Duran point, Andy thinking we could get him a La Liga loan for the style of play. He'll learn nothing in the Championship. Well, yeah, perhaps. I think that the Championship seems to be doing well for some players, but I think Duran maybe being a bit more technical. The point I was thinking with the Championship, and this may be foolhardy, is he's going to be in a team with some kind of seasoned pros, you know, like some grizzled vets. You know, someone who's maybe 31, 32, he's got 6 months left on his deal, he's worrying about his mortgage and his car, and someone who's going to really, you know, pin, although Duran's a big boy, someone's going to pin, you know, this is a little bit old school, and maybe this kind of behavior is cancelled now, but, you know, kind of pin Duran up against the wall when he does some of this nonsense, when he's shooting from 55 yards and stuff like that, just to make him take it a little bit more seriously, maybe not in terms of the football, but maybe just... maybe he would be matured by exposure to a little bit of roughhousing in the championship for 6 months. But La Liga, in terms of technical play, he could probably get the same stuff there and would improve more as a player. But yeah, and Andy also talking about Villa's passing patterns and all that good stuff. And it was beautiful. I mean, not the route one to Leon Bailey, but that did it. I mean, that did the trick. It was just beautiful, just magnificent. And you have to be really pleased as an Aston Villa fan, really pleased with everything that's gone on. You have to be really pleased that we have qualified for the Europa League here, at least for the playoff at the minimum. And now we only need one point to get into the knockout stages as group winners. And you would assume we could do that against Monster, even though they are tougher to break down. So all in all, if I look back on this journey from the Hibs to today, it's been really fun, this UEFA Conference League. I mean, it's great to be back in Europe. It's great to be having these extra fixtures, to be coming up against different teams. I can only imagine those of you that are fortunate to be able to go to some of the away fixtures, you know, the nights out in Poland, the nights out in Amsterdam, all of that beautiful good stuff, with more to come after Christmas as well. I think it's been an absolutely incredible thing for Aston Villa, and really beautiful for us as a Villa community, and really good for the football club in terms of raising our profile again and us getting back into Europe and having a European footprint. All of that stuff augurs well, and when you combine that with our excellent league form, you're just really cooking on gas. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. And I'm really pleased with it, and you should be too. So that is the state of play. We just need a point to guarantee that we win the group. I think we will get that. We should be able to rotate a little bit. Maybe the wizard, Bertrand Traore, will be ready to make his first start of the season, and we can rotate a little bit and get that point that we need. And to be fair, if AZ Alkmaar win, we don't need a point at all. We can even afford to lose. If AZ Alkmaar beat Legia Warsaw, and they will probably want to beat them because AZ Alkmaar had similar problems that we did with the Legia Warsaw fans, so that's something to consider as well. There might be some needle in that fixture also. Okay, so that wraps us up for the European stuff. In terms of the weekend, Bournemouth away. Not a happy hunting ground. Bournemouth have won 3 on the spin. They beat Newcastle 2-0. They just, I think, gave Luton a bit of a hiding. I mean, you know, they won the game and they beat someone else. I don't know who they beat. Oh, I could check. But Bournemouth with 3 wins in a row, kind of the opposite to Tottenham, who had just lost two in a row and now 3 in a row after we met them. So Bournemouth are going to have their tails up. People were questioning the Gary O'Neill dismissal. And... rightly so. I think Gary O'Neill's gone on to do well, but the new manager now seems to be getting his legs under the table and doing some good work. So what we're going to see from Bournemouth is they have some really talented players, some really good technical players. Justin Kluivert, son of Patrick, for all you 90s football fans. Patrick Kluivert was one of the preeminent footballers. Strikers in that era. He did magical, he played for Milan, didn't do great at Milan, but his main kind of body of work was at Barcelona, where he would link up with one of my favorite footballers ever, Rivaldo, and they were quite the force over there in Barcelona. I also remember Patrick Kluivert scoring a ridiculous couple of goals against Ireland in a playoff, I think, to get to maybe France 98. Maybe? Don't know. Anyway, Patrick Kluivert was the business. Feel free to throw him into your YouTube machine, kids, if you want to see a really slick striker. He played for Newcastle as well towards the end of his career, but he was not the same player by then, but he was still a class act. I think I saw him at Villa Park And yeah, he didn't move like he used to, but he was still class. Anyway, his son is now playing for Bournemouth. So let's see. Bournemouth, they beat Sheffield United, sorry, not Luton, 3-1. Sheffield United might be the worst team in the league this year. Cameron Archer, dear oh dear, that may have not been the best move for you. They also beat Newcastle at home 2-0. But then before that, on November 4th, they lost 6-1 to Manchester City. No great shakes there. That can happen. They lost 2-1 narrowly to Liverpool in the EFL Cup. So they can be beaten. They can be got at. They can be defeated. But we're playing them away from home. We do have a dreadful record there. We're missing Boubacar Kamara. There may be some players who are fatigued or tired. So we're going to make sure you're going to make sure that we have to take them seriously. And there's no danger of that with Unai Emery. And then you have to think about rotation because you have Man City 3 days later and then Arsenal 3 days later also. So is it sensible to make sure that you can go into those fixtures fresh? Kamara's going to get a rest, so he should be okay. Douglas Luiz may need a breather at some point. John McGinn, certainly, they flog him to death over in Scotland. I don't think he misses a minute there. They start him in every game, whether they need to or not. So he may need a little bit of a breather. Watkins is getting a breather if he's going to be fit. And Martinez has had a breather. I know that he brought back a knock from international duty as well. Luka Dean's had a breather. So the rotation's happened. But my concern now with fatigue is probably John McGinn and Douglas Luiz. Do they have another 3 games in their legs on Sunday from Bournemouth? Or could we, go 3-0 up at halftime at Bournemouth, make some changes, maybe Big Daddy Donk and Callum Chambers can be the double midfield pivot and prove how wonderful they are? I don't know. But what we want to do, what we need to do is make sure we're trying to win these fixtures, make sure that we're trying to put our best foot forward, and we will hopefully have a nice victory against Bournemouth. Yeah, there you go, Andy. Yeah, top podding. Straight from Bournemouth to Barca. Hey, we do it. We try and do it seamlessly, the segues. So yeah, we need to make sure that we build on that Spurs game. I think we'll gain confidence from there. Andy says no early, silly early goal giveaways. We've been doing a lot away from home. We were able to recover against Tottenham. We were not able to recover against Liverpool or Newcastle or even Nottingham Forest. So if we could avoid doing that on Sunday, that would be great. I'm really looking forward to this fixture. I'm really enjoying being an Aston Villa fan at the moment. I'm really enjoying talking to you about Aston Villa at the moment. It's a great time to be alive as a Villa fan. Really looking forward to this December month and all the season's greetings that brings, both in life and in both personally, professionally, and in my football fandom. So hopefully we will see you next week on a regular show, which we'll try and record for you hopefully on Sunday or Monday, and we can make sure that we are talking hopefully about a win against Bournemouth and maybe even a win against Manchester City. Why not? All right, thank you. I have been Craig Starrard, at Craig Starrard on Twitter. This, or X, as it's now known. This has been Gather Round Again, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you in association with underagaslitlamp.com. Thank you so much for watching. Take care. Have a great weekend. And we will see you very, very soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning in to Gather Round Again, an Aston Villa podcast. Please like down below and... subscribe. Up the Villa. Daly and Atkinson on one of those great runs.